Imperialism influenced U.S. policymaking during the war because the U.S. government and its people wanted to expand their country, not only to prove its power, but to get more money. It's demonstrated when the U.S. and Christian missionaries pursue the, quote, long, deliberate, infallible destruction, unquote, of Hawaii, as Mark Twain put it. But it's also seen in the annexation of other places. In terms of Cuba and later the Philippines, imperialism takes over the minds of the United States government and its army, and the need to defeat Spain settles in. A factor that largely influenced the thoughts and beliefs of many Americans and later influenced the U.S.'s decision to declare war on Spain was the media. When the American Minister of Spain insulted President McKinley and in turn the U.S. in the worst way, quote, in its history, unquote, that was dramatic in itself, but the media drew it into an even bigger ordeal. This leads to the main point of the podcast, being that the media's immense influence on imperialist thoughts in the U.S. played a huge role in U.S. expansion and in the Spanish-American War. Yellow journalism and yellow press was an emerging concept in the late 1800s. The early descendant of clickbait encouraged readers to discuss outrageous topics and exaggerated information to the point of lies, just for the sake of making money. If the media wasn't the tipping point for the Spanish-American War, it was the reason hidden behind it, money and greed on the part of newspapers and journalism. The bombing or destruction of the USS Maine, a U.S. Navy ship docked in Havana Harbor, was taken by the media with an exaggerated spin, turning readers to a frenzy. Some newspapers ran titles like, quote, destruction of the warship Maine was the work of an enemy, unquote, or another, quote, naval officers unanimous that the ship was destroyed on purpose, unquote, and lastly, quote, Spanish officials protest too much, unquote. These headlines, though many based on the truth that the boat had exploded, were mainly opinions turned to facts. But since newspapers and journalism industries were booming, and it was the only source of news aside from word of mouth, people bought everything. Owner and publisher of the Morning Journal, William Randolph Hearst, said that, quote, Maine is a great thing, unquote, because it excited everybody, and the media needed a war to continue entertaining their readers, which is exactly what the war and U.S. politics became, entertainment to the public. Another big factor that contributed to the declaration of war was Franklin Roosevelt and other bureaucrats coming to the Capitol demanding action on the bombing of the USS Maine. The president and his crew chose not to go after Spain, but as Kinzer put it on page 35, preferred to spend $50 million fortifying American ports and making warcrafts that were stronger and newer than those of the Spaniards and the Cubans. Though this alarmed many congressmen, most of which did not want war to come too quickly. If the media's interpretation of Cuba was not enough, Senator Redfield Proctor encouraged action against Spain by saying that, quote, if the United States intervened, the horrors would end and bounty would reach the sufferers, unquote. Senator Proctor was not only a highly regarded senator, he was also known to be quite close with President McKinley, making his speech resonate even more with viewers at home. Kinzer says on page 36 that it gave expansionists their most emotionally powerful rallying cry, unquote, because they believed that the president supported expanding and quote-unquote saving Cuba from Spain. When McKinley finally appeased the public and chose to declare war, he said that it was for, quote, the cause of humanity and to put an end to the barbarities, bloodshed, starvation, and horrible miseries, unquote, that were taking place in Cuba. Though this might definitely have been happening, it brings us to the thought of manifest destiny. People living in America truly believe that it was their duty in life to save others from not being an American, and in terms of fighting Spain for Cuba, McKinley mentioned in his speech that we, quote, are face to face with Spain today in the fulfillment of a great movement which has run through centuries, unquote, and that the U.S., quote, represents the spirit of liberty and the spirit of new time, unquote. All in all, there are many factors that influence the declaration of the Spanish-American War, so it cannot be blamed solely on one event or another. But if there's one thing for sure, history proves that the U.S. government's actions are greatly influenced by the media, not just in terms of the Spanish-American War, but throughout history. When McKinley made the Declaration of Sovereignty over the Philippine Islands a few days before 1899, anti-imperialist groups, most led by the Anti-Imperialist League, proclaimed their anger. Newspapers across the country ran to demolish the groups and their actions. Carl Schultz, one of the leaders of the Anti-Imperialist Party, worked with Andrew Carnegie to publish pamphlets speaking out against imperialism and calling on the public, senators, and congressmen to push back upon, quote, the intoxication of conquest, unquote. Though many Americans were still taken by the post-war triumphalism of the Spanish-American War, some were wary of the new imperialist expansions projects that were in the Philippines. The American government had to ratify the Treaty of Paris, send troops to islands, and arguments of not just anti-imperialists began to form. Newspapers, wanting to cater to both sides of their readers in order to get the most readers and in turn more money, began printing and reporting on speeches with, quote, deeply opposing views, unquote, says Stephen Kinzer. Like those of George Frisbee Hoar and Henry Cabot Lodge were published in many newspapers. In some cases, newspapers and publication houses preferred to choose a side and only publish views of and opinions of that side. When McKinley made the Declaration of Sovereignty over the Philippine Islands a few days before 1899, many anti-imperialist groups, most led by the Anti-Imperialist League, proclaimed their anger. Newspapers across the country ran to demolish the groups and their actions, one in California even calling the anti-imperialists, quote, kicking Bostonese, unquote. Carl Schultz, one of the leaders of the Anti-Imperialist Party, worked with Andrew Carnegie to publish pamphlets speaking out against imperialism and calling on the public, senators, and congressmen to push back upon, quote, the intoxication of conquest, unquote. Though many Americans were... To come back to the topic of media influencing the war, McKinley also wrote in his speech that the U.S. had not been brought to war against Spain, quote, by clamorous politicians or yellow journals, unquote. Of course, the president and the government wanted the possibilities of war to have been solely their decision. But history demonstrates that the U.S. has always been influenced by the media and the opinions of their citizens. Due to high political frenzy from congressmen, House members, and public opinions, the U.S. refrained from declaring war on Spain, instead saying that they would only declare it if, quote, Spain did not withdraw from Cuba, unquote. Quite obviously, Spain rejected this offer, and on April 24, 1898, Spain and the United States declared war on each other. After all the buildup to this point, the citizens of the U.S. were anxious in anticipation for what was to come from the war. Less than 7 days after the declaration of war, Admiral Dewey and his troops stormed Manila Bay on warships. The Morning Journal published a headline across the nation with the banner, quote, victory, complete, glorious, unquote. The journal sold 1.6 million papers that day, even though the article did not mention the fact that the war was nowhere near being over. In fact, fighting would continue for many months, and the official end of the war was in 1900.